God, make it easy to preach today. Let my words be your words, my thoughts be your thoughts. Let your word pierce our hearts and pierce our minds today, that we may leave here changed. That is our prayer today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, amen. You can be seated. If you want to, just ask your neighbor, if you're bold enough, ask them what kind of deodorant, if they put deodorant on this morning, are they wearing? Degree, black and white. Just don't say anything back. Unless you're bold enough to say, I could tell. Oof. Oh, man. So, when I was a kid growing up, my dad was a pastor. Anybody got any pastors? Any PKs in here? Yeah, yeah. Your dad was a pastor. Maybe your grandparents were pastors. Yeah, it's a tough life. Amen? That's a tough life. There were certain expectations that a pastor's kid had to live by. And look a certain way, talk a certain way, act a certain way. We had to walk the chalk line. My daddy drew it. And I remember one time when I was in, we were living in Hinesville, Georgia, and my dad was he was the assistant pastor at a church there. And I remember one Sunday morning, I was sitting beside this little knucklehead in kids' church. And a lady starts playing a song, and he looks over at me, just being bad influence, goes, hey, tell her we're tired of listening to this song. Tell her to play another one. And I remember looking over at him, and I just thought, well, I'm tired of it too. And I was stupid enough to yell out. He was like, but you know, you're Pastor Jimmy's son. You got to have some kind of sway or something, don't you? Yes, I do. So here I proceed to open up my big fat mouth and yell at, hey, Miss So-and-so, I don't remember her name. Can you play a different song? We heard this song too much. We're tired of it. And she was so nice to me. So nice to me. I don't know who the lady was doing kids' music at the time, but she was so nice to me. She's like, well, Jamie, we're going to do this song today. But I'll take your request into consideration, you know, for the future. Like, such a nice lady. So we go all day after church. We go home, take our little afternoon nap, come back to church that night, because we were Sunday morning and Sunday night people, if you would, you know, remember the old days. The doors was open. We was there, and they opened them as much as possible. They kept heathens off the streets. And so I was sitting there. We went back to church that night, came home, had dinner, and Dad and Mom, we were sitting at the dinner table, and Dad said, all right, y'all go ahead and go get ready for bed. Go get your baths, go get your showers. So I remember I went to the shower, I got my shower, got out of the shower, was brushing my teeth, and my dad walks into the room. He said, hey, Jamie, how was your day today? I said, it was great. It's a great day. Church day is always the best day, Daddy. You know that. And so I was like, yeah, it was great. He was like, well, anything interesting happened today? I was like, no, not that I can think of. You know, I mean, it's pretty good, pretty normal Sunday, pretty chill. Had a good day. And he goes, are you sure? I was like, yeah, I think I'm like 8 at the time, 8 or 9 years old. And he said, well, see, what I heard was that you stood up in the middle of kids' church and told the lady doing the music that you didn't want to hear that song again. Did you not understand when I asked you, did anything interesting happen today? I said, oh, you're talking about that. Well, see, I was just trying to help her out, Pops. That's all. I didn't think I was doing anything wrong. You know, he was like, Jamie, go to your room. And I was like, oh, no. So I think he made me sit there like an hour. Now, I don't know if it was an hour or not, but it sure felt like an hour. It may have been 5 minutes. But I'm going to tell you, when you're waiting for what you know is coming, it feels like an hour. And so I was sitting there, and I remember walking in the door. And he looked at me, and he said, I don't want to have to do this. But here's the deal. I asked you a question about what if you had an interesting day. And your response to me, I could tell in your eyes, you knew what I was asking you, okay? So number one, you're going to get a spanking, and there comes the belt. Number one, for doing what you did, you are my child, and you know better than to act that way in church. So, lay on the bed. And then I got the good old Jimmy Harper. But then he goes, I was like, I didn't hurt as bad as I thought, but. And then he looks at me and he says, the first one was for doing what you knew you shouldn't be doing, and the second one is going to be because you followed it up. When I asked you a question, you lied to me. Y'all remember those? Y'all remember when you go? There you go. It wasn't just like a, he got it. No, it's just not, it's like. Oh! Oh, when you heard the snap. Oh, no! This is going to be 10 times harder than the first one. You know, there is a certain amount of fear that I had of my dad when I was growing up. And I think what has happened in society is we've gotten to, I call it the patty cake generation. Can't spank your kids. Can't put the fear into them. You got to sit back and say, now we had this talk. You know you're not supposed to do that. And then they go do it 7 more times. And then it starts making you angry, but you won't do anything about it. As a parent, we've gotten to that place where now kids have no fear. There's no fear. There's no respect. There's no reverence. I'm going to tell you what. When I was growing up, I was terrified of my daddy. And let me tell you something. It was a good thing. Because at the same time, I knew my dad loved me with all of his heart. I knew that every moment that I talked to my dad, that I was looking to him and I was trying to make him proud. You know why? Because I knew how much he loved me. And all I wanted to do was make my dad proud because he loved me so much. And the problem with culture now is today is we don't have a healthy fear anymore. Fear is, let me tell you something, fear is necessary. Because if you're not afraid of doing anything, you'll do so many stupid things. And culturally, that's where we are. And the church is there as well. Because unfortunately, we haven't paid attention to the word and followed the word, and instead we followed culture. We've become too attractional, trying to make sure that we let people know we love them. Yes, we love you. We are welcoming to everybody. But we get so far on one side of the pendulum that we forget that there's another side to God. He's a loving God, but he's a just God. And he will rain down wrath on nations who fail to look to him in fear and reverence. Read your Bible. Look back at history. He doesn't look well on those that do that. There has to be a healthy fear and a healthy amount of reverence that we have for our heavenly Father in the same way that I grew up having it for my earthly father. It's necessary. Because see, here's the deal. Like, and the problem is, here's the problem, is that we don't know what our heavenly Father's standards are because we don't have a relationship with him. See, when I was growing up, I knew my dad's set of standards, right? Now, if I went to somebody else's house, their dad might have a completely different set of standards. You understand what I mean? Like, my dad at my house, we didn't have Halloween. We went to the Hallelujah Festival. No Halloween here. No way. Now, some parents wouldn't have minded their kids going out and trick-or-treating. Now, my daddy didn't. If he would have found me in a Batman costume, I'd have had that belt with the costume off so that the padding wasn't in the butt. That my dad's set of standards, I knew them. And so based on my dad's set of standards was how I lived my life. Because I knew if I crossed a line with my dad's set of standards, it may not be crossing a line with somebody else's set of standards, but my daddy, I knew what my daddy's standards were. And if my mama ever told me, you just wait till your daddy gets home. Where's t-shirts? Tucking them in. You know what I mean? I mean, like, I knew where the lines were. And the issue that we have as the church nowadays is we have no clue what the lines are because we don't read our Bibles. We are the most biblically illiterate generation of Christians that has existed during any of our lifetimes. We don't know the Bible. How are you supposed to know what standards your daddy has if you don't even have a relationship enough with him to read your Bible and know what he has said? Okay, so if we look at what has happened here, okay, I want you to look at this. I want you to go to verse 13. Can you do that, Matthew? Let's go to verse 13. Now it came about when Joshua was by Jericho, he raised his eyes and looked, and behold, a man was standing opposite him with sword drawn in his hand. All right, now look. So here is, now, if you come to my perspective class on Wednesday night in the fellowship hall at 6:30, we'll talk about who and how and why this man was Jesus before his name was Jesus in the flesh. Now we can talk about it. It's pretty cool, okay? And then we can hear different perspectives on it. Your perspective, the Bible's perspective. Like, it's super cool. Anywho, 6:30, Fellowship Hall. We'll have a lot of good stuff. Wednesdays. All right, so here's the deal. So here it is. This is so cool. Okay, so here he is standing in front of Jesus. Before it was Jesus, it's not named Jesus here. His name is Captain, El Capitan. Okay, that's who he is here. Now, when he is talking to him, I want you to notice something about the text. There is zero mention of anybody else being there except for Joshua. Now, if you read your Bible, you'll notice the trend in the Bible. Every time there is somebody else present, there will be mention of the fact that someone else was there. Right? Daniel, for example, when he had a vision, it said that there were two others there, but they didn't see what Daniel saw. Okay? There's mention of every time that there's somebody else there. Even when Jesus was on earth, there would be mention of who he was with. Okay? Because who is there matters. Who you're around matters. Who you spend your time with matters. And here, I can just imagine, based on what's happened in the text before this, Joshua's sitting here, and this is before they walk up and march around the walls of Jericho. Okay, this is before that. Okay, so I can just imagine Joshua sitting there thinking, what am I going to do? Like, God has put me in charge of all his people. And now here we are looking at these big old massive walls of this big old massive city. And I don't know what we're going to do. But then here, the captain of the Lord's army shows up. Now, I think a large reason as to why you and I don't receive revelation from God is because we don't have enough respect for God to sit down and be quiet and wait on him to show up. We don't fear him enough. You know what we fear? We fear losing money because we're sitting still. We fear missing out on some business. We fear advancement in our career. We fear, and we don't have, and listen, here's another thing. We have more respect for YouTube people than we do for God. So I gotta learn something. I'm gonna go watch it. Well, you know what? That's okay. I'm not knocking anybody not like watching teaching or preaching or anything like that. I mean, I know my job is to come and teach and preach on Sundays and feed you guys. It's feeding the sheep, okay? I know that's my job. But I think that we've come to a place in society where we don't want to spend time waiting on God because we've got such a right now attitude. I want it now. I want it now. I want it now. I want the knowledge now. I want the knowledge now. I want the breakthrough now. I want this now. I want this now. I want this now. I want this now. And so we will give more time to social media than we will to reading our Bibles. Look up. I guarantee you, if you were able to look and see what you spent most of your time on this week, you probably spent 100 times the amount on your social media accounts than you did in your word. You spend more time on your phones rather than sitting and waiting and sitting with your thoughts. Sitting with God, opening up his word, praying. We don't have enough fear or respect for him to lay all these other things of the world aside and spend time with him. We don't have enough respect for him to sit those things down and say, "You mean more to me, God." Instead, we'd rather scroll than read his scroll. I challenge you to do something this week. Every time you open up your phone to look on social media, put it down and pick your Bible up. See how your life changes. Sit your phone down, sit down and get on your knees as opposed to being... You'll get drunk on the wrong stuff. You want to know what people are addicted to more than drugs or alcohol or anything? They're stinking social media. And then they judge everybody else. Put it down. Have enough respect. Have enough fear and reverence for God that you will say, "I will dedicate hours if need be to sit in your presence, God." Put some praise and worship music on. Sit there and watch what happens when you wait on him alone. That's what's happening. This is what's happening here. Because here's the problem. You don't get your answers because you're searching for them instead of waiting on them. If you feared God enough and respected God enough, you'd sit and wait on his answer to come to you. But instead, you got so much respect and fear, you got so much just desires to sit there on your phones, to sit there and watch your televisions, to sit there and just gossip, thumb gossip, bunch of keyboard warriors. Instead of looking at God and saying, "What would you have me do next?" Because go to Matthew chapter 6, verse 6 through 7, Matthew. Can you do that for me? When you pray, go away by yourself. Shut the door behind you. Pray to your Father in heaven in private. Then your Father, who sees everything, will reward you. Now, here's another issue that the church has. The moment you have a spiritual experience, you want to tell somebody about it because you feel special. Now, here's the deal. There's a massive difference between sharing your testimony for God's gain and sharing something, experience that you had for personal gain. Go back to verse 4 before you go there. 14, I'm sorry, Matthew. No, rather I've come as captain of the Lord's army, and Joshua fell on his face to the ground. When you actually care about sharing something that happened to you and a moment that you had, this is where Joshua's moment was. What did he do? He didn't run and say, man, I found out about the captain of the Lord's army. No, what's the first instinct he had? To fall on his face in worship. Our first reaction, the moment we have like a nice little encounter, is we want to tell everybody about it. And here's what I get out of this every time. I have people come to me and tell me, hey, you know, this, that, or the other. The share experiences with me. It's fine. But I remember a moment, every time that happens, I remember what Jesus said. Jesus is like, yeah, demons, yeah, they obey you. They're like, hey, Jesus. I think like Luke chapter 10. Hey, look, man, all the demons, they submitted to our authority. They obeyed me. They obeyed us. They listened to what we commanded when you told us how to do it. He's like, yeah, that's great. You know what's crazy about that? It's like when people will talk to me about their spiritual experiences and talking about how demons listen, hey, of course they do. Because Jesus has authority and he's granted us authority. So we have authority. And so Jesus is like, yeah, you're going to have the authority to step on scorpions, snakes, don't matter. I started to make a Pentecostal joke there, but I'm not. Crap. We're not those. Lord Jesus, stop me. Anywho. Right, when Jesus is like, he's like, yeah, of course you're going to do that. I mean, here's what it was like to Jesus. It's like if I was going out to the T-ball field, me, my age, and was just like, let's go. Yeah, bomb, chump, run around the bases, talking to little six-year-olds, like hitting a home run, trotting around the bases. I'd hit a home run every time, right? Because that's what you're supposed to do. When we are a Christian and been given authority, we're supposed to trample. Problem is every time we have an experience, we want to run and tell somebody about it to make ourselves feel better. Make ourselves feel special. What's supposed to make you feel special, Jesus said, is that your name is written down in glory. It's written down in the Lamb's book of life. And that's what I rejoice in. I don't rejoice because of these demons that you have a little bit of authority over. No. And the issue is we have got to understand what relationship with God means and what reverence for God means. Because it's not just about having experience with him, it's about having a type of relationship with him. Experiences are great, relationships better. So he fell down in worship. Fell on his face, the Bible says. You know what's crazy about that? Is that when you're actually reading like the context of like actually reading the lexicon and you read like the background of what that meant, it wasn't like, oh. No, it was full blown. Oh. And then Joshua says something incredible. He says, what would you have me do? See, the issue is that we don't fall at his feet. We aren't willing to have that type of fear and reverence for God. We'll have a little, but we've come to believe that fear and reverence, or reverence, is just sitting in a chapel really quietly. That's not. It can be. That's not the only way that you're reverent. I remember one time when I was we were going to church in New York City when we were living there in this place called Redeemer Presbyterian, and I loved going there. Y'all, probably some of you might think that's hilarious because you are wild as a buck. I loved it. I mean, they played a little violin for praise and worship, and you just felt the presence of God in there. Like, it was just the most amazing feeling of just pure reverence. And sitting there, and we went there for about a year, and it was incredible. I loved it. You could feel the anointing on the pastor's life, and as he would speak these words of life, I learned and grasped, and it changed my life. And I was like, you know, I learned as I've grown up because I, you know, Laura and I have gone to a bunch of different places. I used to go to Episcopal Church for like 7 years before they kind of took an about face. But man, they were liturgical, and they went through things, and they were very methodical about it, and there was such reverence in that place. And then I used to have y'all don't know this. You know they asked me to be a pastor in the Southern Baptist Convention before they did in the Church of God? Y'all didn't know that, did you? Because I was Baptist for a while too. Right? And there's been churches that we've gone to where there's extreme reverence, and then there's churches that we go to that are the same denomination and there's none. Because reverence is obedience. Reverence is fear. Reverence is when God says to do something, you do it. And when you're in the presence of God, you don't worry about your dignity. You're terrified in a way that is not bad, but so Joshua fell on his face. Sometimes reverence is quiet. Sometimes in the Bible, Hebrews chapter 5, verse 7, it says this. It says that while Jesus was here on earth, he offered prayers and pleadings with a loud cry and tears to the one who could rescue him from death. And God heard his prayers because of his deep, what? Reverence for God. One version says fear. Reverence and fear does not sound a specific way. It does not look a specific way. It has a lot of different meanings. What it looks like is obedience. And what it looks like is falling at his feet, knowing that he is the only one. You know what falling at his feet means? It means surrender. And so he's sitting here surrendering. And I'm gonna close with this. By falling at his feet. And when I think about all the people in the Bible who fell at the feet of Jesus, who fell at the feet of God, I think about people who made a tremendous difference in the world. Think about Daniel. Think about Mary. Think about David. They fell at his feet. You know why? Because when you're in the presence of God and he's present, like you should throw everything out the window. Your feelings, your emotions, done. Because being at the feet of Jesus in full surrender, that is what fearing him and revering him looks like. And when you do that, this is what happens. I love the Passion Translation. It says, I will do whatever you command of me, Lord. When he surrendered, he got his answer. He surrendered his pride, surrendered all of it. He got what only God could give. I know that God is looking for a church that will literally just say, God, I will do whatever you need me to do. I don't care how small it is. I don't care how large it is. I don't care how weird it is. I don't care how against the grain it is. Whatever that is, God, I will do whatever you ask me to do. Because you get your answers when you submit. With a heart that says anything, God. You open up the playbook for him, y'all. The whole playbook. He can dig in all into his bag of tricks and he can say, anything that's in his playbook. He can then say, walk around the walls of Jericho 7 times and then shout. Do you know how weird of an answer that is? But that strange answer and obedience to that answer, fear of not doing what that answer was, that is the type of reverence the church has got to get back to. We have got to come back to a place where we have fear and reverence for who God is. Because if we don't, y'all, we're a lost cause. I'm telling you. We need a healthy fear of our Heavenly Father. Can you stand? I want to just... I want to read the 15th verse. And the captain said, remove your sandals from your feet, for the place where you're standing is holy. You know, it was interesting last week when I took my shoes off and got in the water. You know, you just feel the earth differently. Like, the shoes represent the thing that's disconnecting us from the earth. And when you have your shoes off and you're barefooted on the ground, you're connected. And when God calls someplace holy like he did right here, he's saying, you are disconnected, Joshua, from what's holy. Now, I don't know what your thing is, but we all have things that get in our way day by day, every single day, that keep us from living a life of full of holiness. And we have to make a decision every day to make sure we don't put those things in the way of what God wants to do. Because he's got a plan for you. But if you're disconnected from him, he can't send you where you want, where he wants to send you. And then the very last thing, and Joshua did so. I want to encourage you to do one thing today. Be obedient. As you leave here, fear is all about obedience. Reverence for God is all about obedience. Whatever he would have you do, do it. Do it. Read your word. Take that word and do it. God, I just pray today, Lord, that you would just do an incredible thing in our church. Even more, double, triple, quadruple, 10 times what you've been doing. We give you glory, honor, and praise for all that you've done. And Lord, we don't want to just settle and be okay with where we are. We want to make sure that we respect you enough, fear you enough, revere you enough, honor you enough. Because we know in those moments, then you will do more for us in the future. Because we get our answers in the secret place, God. Let us as a church devote ourselves not to our social media, not to other things, God, of this world, but that we would devote ourselves to you.
Hey, I'm Pastor Jamie, lead pastor here at Lifegate Church in Dalton, Georgia, and I just want to say thank you for choosing to worship with us today. We hope that whether you're watching this live or you're watching this at a later time, that it brings value to your life. We would love to have you join us in person if you're ever in the Dalton area. We're at 2744 Cleveland Highway in Dalton, Georgia. If you'd like to know more about what's going on or how you can get connected with us here at Lifegate Church, just go to lifegatedalton.com. We would love to get you plugged in some kind of way and let us know if there's any prayers or anything we can do for you. Once again, thanks for joining us today. God bless.